It's the morning show. I'm Kedar Chirkent. We continue now our candidate conversations ahead of the nonpartisan primary election for the superintendent of public instruction. The primary is set for February 16th. Seven candidates are in the race ahead of the April 6th general election. And now we have Jill Underley, the superintendent of Pecatonica Area School District. It's about 20 miles southwest of Madison. What do you want to know about her priorities for public schools in our state? Join in 800-642-1234. Jill, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, why do you want to be Wisconsin's next superintendent?
All right, thanks. I'm running for Wisconsin State Superintendent because really I want to disrupt the inequities that plague our public school systems in Wisconsin. For me, it comes down to two things: optimism and equity. And I see so much good in our schools, but I also see so much inequity. And I'm running because we need a public school system that works for all kids, no matter where they live or who their parents are. And it's important to note that I'm the only candidate currently leading a school district during a pandemic. And I'm the mom of two middle school children attending school also during the pandemic. And I'm a true public school champion. And I see inequity every day in my district and districts throughout Wisconsin, and I want to disrupt those systems of inequity.
So when you talk about inequity, how would you specifically address our racial and economic disparities that are dividing student achievement around our state?
Sure. So, I heard the previous candidate mention, opportunity gaps. And, that's based on, a conversation that we've had with the Wisconsin Public Education Network and the work of John Diamond and Amanda Lewis. And the way to address that is to really look at what programs and systems we've had in place that really have not had any impact on, the root causes of racism in our society. You have to look at, well-funded schools, and you have to look at the opportunities that those schools provide to the kids that go to school there. So you think about early childhood programs and birth to three programs, getting kids the interventions that they need early, so that sets them up for a lifetime of success. We have to acknowledge that we have a severe mental health shortage, not just of practitioners, providers in our rural areas and our urban areas, and kids are struggling. So we need to support them, especially now as we weather the pandemic. And we also need to look at teachers. And we have a teacher shortage, and it's after a decade of, austerity cuts, to our public schools, but also the fact that people, 10 years ago, we had some real struggles. And in our, in the politics in Wisconsin, teachers left the profession. But now it's more important than ever that we get well-prepared teachers into our schools, because the kids who have inexperienced teachers or teachers that are not familiar with education and, are just emergency licensed, those are the kids that are going to struggle. And we need to know that, and we have to agree that every child deserves these opportunities regardless of where they live, who they were born to, what language they speak at home, or what zip code they live in, rural or urban. And I'm really excited to get to work.
You mentioned that you're the candidate taking on a pandemic in a school system. When do you think schools should be holding instruction virtually? When should they be in the classroom?
Sure, that's a great question. And it's the million-dollar question, right? I wish we all had that answer. I think it's what's clear is that in order for kids to learn, they need to feel safe and they need to feel connected and they need to have positive relationships with adults in their schools and at home. And as long as we can keep our kids safe, whether it's through, cleaning our buildings or, with personal protective equipment, but we also have to keep our staff safe and healthy. And we can certainly be in person, but we need to keep everybody safe. And I just hope that the legislature would work closely with the DPI to provide the conditions through which safety can be met.
We're talking with one of the seven candidates running for state superintendent. Jill Underley is superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District, about 20 miles southwest of Madison. Let's bring in Alan now in Madison. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. I've been really encouraged by what you and the last candidate were saying about kind of changing school funding to be more equal. And so I just wanted to ask, I think a lot of the inequality in school funding comes from the sort of property tax-based funding model that means that people who live in nice areas with nice houses have nice schools, and people who might live in houses where they pay lower property taxes also have worse schools. And so this sort of perpetuates racial and economic inequality across generations. So what are some of your plans to sort of address that challenge that I think is at the heart of so much of the inequality that we're seeing?
Ellen, yeah, thanks. Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead,
great
Jill.
Question, Ellen. You absolutely nailed it. I mean, that's really what it is. So right now we have equalized aid that comes from, you know, the state legislature through the Joint Finance Committee, and they determine how much money goes to the schools. And that pot of money, while it may look like it goes up every year, the pieces that it goes out to, or the, you know, the different entities it goes out to, also increases. And I think our public taxpayers need to ask harder questions about school finance. So, for example, this past school year, the state allocated $385 million to private school vouchers. And that was an expense that didn't exist. You know, you think about it in like 1993. And so we have to look at some of these things that are, you know, impacting the amount of funding that goes to our schools. We also have to look at the costs that don't, you know, that exist now that didn't exist in 1993. I think about technology and how much technology has changed and now how much of a cost that is to our school districts. We really need to revise our funding formula so it is, you know, more favorable to public schools, and so schools can not only just keep their doors open without having to go to referendum, but that they can pay their staff, you know, a living wage and keep staff, you know, so staff could see a future and a career in that school district, because our kids will benefit from that.
Let's bring in Jennifer now in Colby with a question. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi. As an educator, I'm just curious what your plan is for literacy. Our literacy scores, not just Wisconsin, but across the U.S., are falling and a bit dismal. And with the pandemic, we're seeing, especially with early literacy skills, that's even lower. So what is your plan to increase our literacy skills? Because having those high literacy rates also give access to further education down the line.
I agree. Good question, Jennifer. So improving literacy, I believe, begins with early childhood education. You know, we need to provide interventions early because we need to set kids up for success. But, you know, in my experience as a school district administrator, and particularly somebody in a rural area, we need to work with our cooperative education service agencies, or the CESA. So CESA 9 up in your area, for example. And my plan would be to work with the CESAs when I'm at DPI to develop a cohesive curriculum framework, because that's what's missing. I mean, we have great standards, but it's the implementation of those standards that's left up to, you know, it's left up to individual school districts to decide how they teach them and how they roll them out. And so what we need to do is bring in the science of reading to this framework and then work with our CESAs to share that professional development with our teachers so that we can make sure that we're teaching the kids the best way that we can.
Jennifer, thanks. You know, looking at how our kids are doing in the pandemic, how do we catch them up? They are falling behind grade level really quickly. What would your approach be?
Yeah, you know, this is something I struggle with, too, because I see the one end we want, you know, to be accountable, right? We got to stay on track, but that's really subjective, right? I mean, there are going to be kids that are going to be fine, you know, and we bring back that idea of the opportunity gap. The kids who are, you know, well-resourced at home and school, they're going to weather this just fine. It's the kids with, you know, like the students with disabilities, the EL learners, the kids in high poverty situations that don't have the support right now in the pandemic. And so for me, I am conflicted. I want kids to continue to learn, you know, certainly maybe after school programming, or we can do summer programming, but I also want them to just be okay, right? I want to advocate that they have mental health support. You know, I want to advocate that we can get, you know, broadband and high-speed wireless to, you know, all our communities, that it's affordable. You know, I want to advocate for all these enrichment experiences and remediation, but I also feel that people need to provide more grace to our public schools. I know people are frustrated, but I'm really just worried about the well-being of our kids first and foremost.
As we start to wrap up here, how could Wisconsin's public schools be better prepared for another pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, certainly something we did a couple years ago at my school district was that we made sure that we were one-to-one with technology. You know, we made sure that we had the resources in place because we were looking at how to cut back on the number of snow days we had. But I think, you know, certainly making sure we have the technology, but we really need the infrastructure first. In Wisconsin, we need rural broadband or high-speed wireless access so that kids and families could work from home next time we do have a pandemic. The other side of it is we need to provide more training to our staff on how to make, you know, remote lessons more effective as well. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of other things I could probably go into, but it's really, how do you make things most normal in a pandemic? You know, it's really difficult.
Jill, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be here. You know, just a simple thank you to all the parents, community members, and businesses who support their public schools, because I truly believe that our schools are the cornerstone of our democracy. So thanks for being engaged, and don't forget to vote on February 16th.
Jill Underlee is superintendent of Pecatonica Area School District in the southwestern part of the state. Ahead this hour, we talk with the Milwaukee County District Attorney to learn how authorities are responding to a rise in homicides. What questions do you have for Milwaukee's top county prosecutor about the violence in the city? It's 800-642-1234. Stay with us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.